But I want to talk with you guys about time this morning. It's a joke. I'm known for telling jokes I probably shouldn't tell. There's the joke of a pastor who comes to a new congregation, and he gets up front for his first sermon ever. This is really going to set the tone the next couple years of his ministry in this particular congregation. And he gets up and he says, "Church, I have a solemn promise for all of you. I promise I will make all of you happy." And the church looked and said, "Mercy, like, how is he going to do this? We've got some pretty diverse perspectives in this church. How in the world is he going to make the entire church happy?" And he says, "Well, I'll put it this way. Half of you will be happy while you're here, while I'm here, and the other half of you will be happy when I leave. But I'll make all of you happy." I hope that's not the way you feel about me this morning, because it's not the way I feel about you. I love this church. You guys have been such an encouragement. I've worked at churches before, but not like this, and you guys have just really been a blessing to me. I really appreciate your prayers, your help, your encouragement, your critiques. I'm very thankful for those, actually, because those help me grow even better. I'm going to miss you guys a lot. I'm not nervous about seminary. Some people say, "Well, they might be teaching heresy at seminary," and they might, but my plan is I'm going to seminary knowing Jesus. And if I know Jesus, I'm going to know what's not Jesus. Amen. And please pray for me there. I'm excited. I think we've got godly seminary professors, and I'm excited to learn from them. But I don't want to forget the lessons that I've learned here. I've had good times, and I've made mistakes. But I'm so blessed, first off, because God can take my mistakes, and he can transform them into something that I couldn't even dream of happening. There are so many situations here in this church where I thought something was going to go terrible, and it switched around. And you know what? I can't really point at too many situations where it was the other, that happened the other way, where I thought something was going to go great and it didn't. I want to talk with you guys about time this morning. Time is one of those things that we just can't get enough of, right? It's a little bit like money. That's why people say time is money, right? And we talked about money last week. It's a finite resource. It's got a numerical value. You can use time to turn it into money. You can use money to turn it into some extra time. For instance, washing a car, or spending to have someone else or a machine wash your car instead of you. How do we use our time? I remember being a kid. I'm still a kid. I'm 25. Some of you, Jamie Palmer, disagrees with that, but I remember being a kid and thinking, you know, this whole life thing doesn't go very fast. Anyone ever felt that way? This whole life thing doesn't go very fast. Mom, I love you. But I'd be at my mom's house and I'd be like, "Mom, I just want to get away. I want my own house. Don't want my mom to tell me what to do. I don't want my mom telling me that I can't," I don't know. What was it? I was a fairly good child, wasn't I? Yeah, so it was probably, rebelling was like staying up 2 minutes past my bedtime. But you know, you're frustrated and you want to make your own decisions and you want to be able to eat the food you want to eat and make your own bedtime the way you want your bedtime to be. You want to not have to, oh, here's one, Mom, not have to learn how to play the piano against, or the guitar against your will, but praise the Lord you did that, because I've used that skill here in Sonora. You want to be able to use the time that you have, and you're just like, "Man, if I just wasn't stuck in school, if I had a job, if I could just go to college, everything would be all right." because in college I'll have freedom. So you go to college and then you don't have any money and you've don't have a lot of time and you're trying to wrestle things out and work things out and figure out a career, and it's really stressful, and you're trying to find, you know, a spouse maybe, and it's stressful and you don't know what to do, and you're like, man, I just can't wait till I get my life figured out and I get a salary and I'm able to save up money and use it the way I want to, and I'll be married and all that stuff will go away. The stressful dating thing will go away. And then that does happen. You get married, and marriage is wonderful, by the way, baby. But you, I was not trying to cover my hind parts there. You become an adult, and then you realize, oh, I don't have time. Oh, I have to use my money for what? What's an alternator? You have to buckle down. You have to actually do life. And all of a sudden, because you're done with all these little changes or these big changes like graduation and choosing a career path and finding the girl of your dreams and aww. and all of this stuff, all of a sudden life just happens like that. And that's the way I've experienced it here. I've been here for 3 years, which isn't a long time. I don't feel like it's a long time, but college felt like it was a long time. College was just 1 year longer than this. College felt like it took forever. Can anyone relate to that when you were in college and you get in the workforce and then it's like, oh shoot, it's the fifth Christmas since I've been from college. And that's how I feel. And I'm young. Like I said, I'm 25. I was born in 1991. I'm a baby to a lot of you, and some of you, I'm the oldest person in the world. But time goes so fast. This life, if it's all there is to live, is a huge disappointment. Do you know what I'm saying? If this life is all there is, if this is all the time, some of you kids are thinking, oh my goodness, no, I've got all the time in the world. No, you don't. Your time goes so fast that if you're not careful, you're going to blink and it's going to be gone. That can't be helped. So this morning we're not going to talk about how to like stretch out your time or whatever. But we are going to talk about how do we use, as Christians, our time. I struggled with what to share with you. I'm like, this is my last sermon ever. No intention of burning any bridges, by the way. This is my last sermon ever. What do I share with God's people this morning? And I was praying about it 2 weeks ago, and God hit me with this one. It's time. I always hate when people talk about time in this way. I remember my wife and I, we went to Six Flags Magic Mountain. Have you ever been there? Oh, it's fun. If you don't like roller coasters, it's no fun. But it is fun if you like roller coasters. They've got this one, it's called X2, and it's this extreme roller coaster, and it switches you around, it rotates you, so when you're going forwards, you're upside down, and when you're right side up, you're going backwards, and it shoots fire at you, and you can feel the flame, and it's really fun. And we were having a blast, and I was thinking, I couldn't help but thinking, man alive, this is just so much fun, and it's going to be over soon. And someone overheard me, and they're like, oh, don't worry about it. You'll have the memories. Forget memories. I'm built to ride. I want to ride a roller coaster. I don't want to remember riding a roller coaster. I mean, how many of you, when you get hungry, you're like, oh, but just remember that pizza from 2 weeks ago? Does that work for you? It doesn't work for me. And then sometimes it gets even more personal. Like, for instance, those of us who've lost loved ones. I remember my grandma passed away, and some of my dad's friends that aren't Christian said, well, you don't have her. You won't see her again, but at least you have the memories. Forget memories. I want my grandma. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not living this life for memories. Memories are great. Memories are wonderful. And some of you are just thinking, you know, memories are kind of what I have. I can't really get out of my house a whole lot. And, you know, I'm getting older. Memories are what I have. And that's true, you know, like that's a reality of this world. But God built us not to just be memory makers. God built us with these digits and our taste buds and our olfactory nerves and our retinas for much more than making memories. We're made to experience life and to continue to experience life. Ecclesiastes 3:11, I believe, says that God put eternity into the heart of man and women. God put eternity into our hearts. All of us, that when you talk to people, that they want to live life forever. Sometimes you'll meet like a skeptical atheist and they'll be like, I don't want to live forever because then all my friends would be dead. You know, or I don't want to live forever because, you know, I'd get bored. Really? Like, I've never met someone who wasn't suffering from like chronic depression, which is a mental health issue, who was just like, oh, I've lived enough life. Like if you could have your body, your eternal, healthy, young body, and your mind, and your friends, and the world is beautiful and as it should be, you cannot tell me that forever would be a burden. And that's what we long for. We long for eternity. We want much more than just the experiences where we get as many experiences as we can, and then we get old, and then we die, and that's it. That's the end of the story. No, sir, that does not sound good to me. Does it sound good to you? There's no way that sounds good to me. Jesus created us for eternity. We are meant to be eternal beings. Now, this world, we have a problem, and that problem is called sin. And one of the big, one if not the biggest symptoms of sin, symptoms of selfishness, is what? Death. That's exactly right. Death is the main symptom of sin. Choosing to go against God, to say that I am more important than God, I'm more important than everyone else, I'm going to do it my way, I don't care if it hurts anyone else, I don't care if it hurts myself, I'm going to do it my way. And this leads to death. And we're facing that. And so what is our response? Unfortunately, many Christians, as Christians, we tend to live life like this is all we get. We tend to live life like this is all we get. We're going to skip this verse in Ecclesiastes. It's a wonderful verse talking about how there's different times for different things. What do you spend your time doing? This goes into kind of back to last week, for those of you who were here, last week's message. What do you spend your treasure on? We're going to go to, I put some verses here. I had a different flavor I wanted to do this one in, but let's read this one. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. This is what life feels like to many of us who are here and will feel like that to everyone else who's here soon or later. This is Jesus interacting with the Pharisees here. Actually not with the Pharisees. Oftentimes as a rabbi, you would be treated kind of like a justice of the peace in some ways. You would resolve issues. If you've ever seen that movie, Fiddler on the Roof, right? If I were a rich man. They always go to the rabbi, right? They're like, rabbi, what can you help us with? Or can you give us advice on this situation? And this is what people are doing when they come to Jesus. Then one of them, one from the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you? And he said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Then he said spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." Now, there's a principle with parables. This is across the board. Doesn't matter which denomination you're from or whatnot. This is something actually that was shared to me by a Baptist theologian. The point of the parable is, the point of parables is the end of the parable. So there are lots of parables. For instance, the parable of the prodigal son, for instance, right? And we tend, when we think of and talk about that story, we focus on all of the middle stuff, right? And the son, and he runs away, and he sleeps with a prostitute, spends his father's money, comes back at the very end. And that's what we tend to focus on, say, wow, look at the mercy of the father. And no doubt that is a point of the parable, but the main point of the parable is when you look at what's going on, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. They're not rejoicing because there are sinners that are coming to repentance by hanging out with Jesus. And the very end of the parable is addressed to the older brother, and the older brother is asked the question, will you love your younger brother, or are you going to stay outside? And that's the main part of the parable. So this parable is not about investment. This is not Jesus saying, don't invest. Investment is bad. We talked all last week about the importance of investing and being doing good with God's money and living beneath our means. This is not Jesus going against what I was talking about last week. This is Jesus saying, if you're living for the stuff that you're storing up, it's pointless because you're going to die. You might even die tomorrow. You might even die tonight. And what are you spending your time focused on? What are you spending your time looking at? What are you spending your time putting value into? And we as Christians tend to do all these things where we are focusing on ourselves. We spend all of our money saving up for a new house or a new car or a new vacation. We spend all of our time doing things we want to do, watching TV, even 3ABN. Spending all of our time watching television, or we spend all of our time doing the things that we want to do. Now, here's the problem. We as Christians, we believe that Jesus is coming soon. Amen? Jesus is coming soon. And we believe that heaven is eternal. Amen? And we believe that God created us for the vast ages of eternity. And God created things for us, animals, plants. He created organisms and life experiences and the very galaxy for his enjoyment as well as for our own. Amen? We are sons, not slaves. We are daughters, not maids. We are God's children. And so we have we are meant to experience life, but here's the catch. Here's the problem. We tend to do that now as Christians. We tend to spend all of our time focusing on what we can get right now. And we forget that we're going to have all of eternity to do those things. Does that make sense? Yes or no? We're going to have all of eternity doing those things. Now, I'm not telling you, I had a friend last week, he warned me about the big long words at the end of the end of a medication ad. Disclaimer. He warned me about giving disclaimers. I'm going to give you a disclaimer. I'm not saying you shouldn't rest. We're Seventh-day Adventist Christians. We believe in rest. Amen. We need to go on vacation. We need to be sound. We need to be well-rounded people. I'm not saying not to be well-rounded, but what are we spending our money on? What are we spending our treasure on? What are we spending our time on? Is it stuff that we're going to have for the ceaseless ages of eternity? Because if it is, we're wasting our time. And you know why? Because of this verse back here. I messed my order up. I must work the works of him. This is Jesus talking. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. You and I have a mission. And our mission is to share the gospel of a risen and soon coming king to the world. That's our mission. And sometimes we live like our mission is to enjoy life to the uttermost. Right? I had a friend who was at a college. I'm not going to say which college it was, but he wrote a newspaper article that said that the college he was going to was more concerned with sending kids to Loma Linda than it was to sending them to heaven. They're more concerned with pumping out doctors, with getting people to be successful in their careers, rather than focusing on A, setting these kids up for loving Jesus, and B, setting them up to be missionaries, ambassadors on his behalf. And what are we doing, church? Are we living life the way that Jesus wants us to? Are we putting ourselves out there for those of our friends that don't know him as well? We're going to have the vast ages of eternity for everything else, but there's only a little bit of time left because Jesus is coming soon and there are a lot of people that still don't know him. And I believe that they're going to be given the chance. I don't believe God writes someone out of eternity because they didn't have the chance to hear about him. I don't agree with that. I think there's good biblical evidence that goes against that. But you and I have a job, and that job is to share Jesus in the most attractive, truthful light possible. Our mission is to go forth and to share this loving God that we know, this God of love that we know. There are so many people that are heartbroken, that are dying inside. There are so many. Look at Tuolumne County, if I can be so bold. The drug infestation that's going on right here is horrendous. The amount of people that are suffering from mental illness in this county is terrifying. And what are we doing to help those people? What are we doing to help the people who are suffering? I can tell you without a doubt, this church does a lot. This church is so healthy. I actually had some of my friends who are pastors, they told me this. They said, you have plateaued in your career. They said, you have had the best experience that you will have as a pastor here at Sonora. They said, after this, it's rough trails. I said, don't tell me that, I'm 25. And I think God's going to do one better than you from my perspective, and I think God's going to do one better than me from your perspective. Amen? I think that God's going to continue to grow us and lead us, and I don't believe that. But you guys are an extremely healthy, supporting church. We do so much for this community, from God's Closet that we're starting up, to those of you who helped with community service before we imagined this revisioning of it, to everyone who is involved in Wired, to our teachers over at Malaja, to those of you who help during Vacation Bible School and do your small groups, whether that's CHIP or I don't know what else it could be. But all of you guys that are running personal Bible studies, maybe not all of you, but a huge chunk of you are doing this. So I don't want you to think I'm slapping you and saying, man, this church is terrible. But are we doing enough? Because we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to have all the time and all the energy to do whatever we want to do except for one thing. There's one thing we can't do when we're in heaven, and that is seek and share Jesus with the lost. That's done. That's over. There's no more of that. If you wanna pursue some grandiose thing, you got all of eternity to do that. But everyone that didn't make the decision to follow Jesus, that's done. And are you gonna be able to live with yourself personally with the amount that you've done? We need to be careful because there's a temptation for us to think too highly of what we've done. And we can see this in the Bible where it's the sheep and the goats, right? And the sheep and the goats are separated. There are people that come to Jesus. They say, "Lord, Lord, we were serving you. When did we not see you?" And Jesus says, I was in prison and you didn't come to visit me. I was thirsty. You didn't give me anything to drink. I was an orphan. You didn't give me a home. Are we thinking too highly of what we do? I want to encourage you to press forward. Press the attack. We as Christians fall into this narrative so many times that it's kind of us against the world, and we know that Jesus is coming soon, but we know the world's going to get worse, and we kind of need to cower in the corner, and we kind of, you know, live just like, really, I'm not saying this is why you live in Sonora, but we live really close to the mountain, so if the time of trouble comes, we can just kind of bump to the hills, right? We can escape. We got to get ready for those people that don't believe, that hate God, to start persecuting us so we can hide to the mountains. That's cowardly talk. Are we going to run? Are we going to run from people that don't have Jesus during the end of time? Are we going to run from them? Are we going to run to them because that's their last chance? Are we going to be soldiers of Christ who know that no matter what Satan throws at us, no matter what anyone throws at us, Jesus is going to make us overcomers? Or are we going to live in fear? Are we going to be afraid of what it might happen if we allow non-Adventists to come to Malaysia? Are we going to worry about that? Or are we going to reach out? And are we going to reach out to the world? Are we going to freak out if we, you know, take care of those that have serious issues because we don't want them to have access to our children? These are big concerns, and they're important questions to have. But are we going to stifle our ministry because we're afraid? We are not given a spirit of fear, my friends. We are given a spirit of love and overcoming. And I want you to encourage you to press the attack. Instead of thinking that we need to be ready to retreat, let's get ready to charge. I'd love to say goodbye to you, but here's the thing. When we're in heaven, we're going to be laughing that we said goodbye. Like, even if you don't see me again, even if, like, I die or you die and we never see each other again on this earth, we're going to be like, man, remember when we said goodbye when we didn't see each other for like 80 years? Or like on year 3 million? We're going to be kind of laughing about that. That's going to be kind of weird. And so I'm going to miss you guys. I'm not denying that. And you can miss me too if you want. But we're not to be thinking that this is the end. It's not the end. But it will be the end for some. It will be the end for those who don't accept God's gift, because he's not going to force them to be with him. He's not going to force them to be in a government that is entirely selfless love. He's not going to force them to do that. But are we sharing Jesus with those people? Are you going to be in heaven with everything else, from Hawaii to roller coasters to fine dining to all the other things you could be doing with your time? Are you going to be content looking back at your life and saying, yes, I did everything that I possibly could to share Jesus with the people that aren't here right now? Or are you going to be saying, man alive, I missed a lot of opportunities. I missed a lot of opportunities. Friends, stick close to Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit move you. Let Him push you. Let Him show you how to work. Continue working. Continue pressing forward. Do not give up the fight. We are to redeem the time. We are to redeem the time. Jesus is coming soon, and I can't wait for that day when sin and death are no more. But in the meantime, we've got people to save. We've got things to do. We've got hearts to reach for Jesus. Can you say amen? Is that our mission?